just amazing to be a part of those moments. And so incredible to hear that amazing testimony that Sue shared of a praying grandmother, but her part that she played within that story as well. And if you haven't noticed, we're doing baptisms slightly different this morning. And I was really encouraged speaking to Sue last Sunday night and hearing a little bit more about the story, about Jess's story and the history there. And I just thought it would be great to kind of share that testimony and then also encourage you with a few thoughts around an incredible story in the Bible, one of my favorite stories, and just an encouragement to us as to how we can be a part of other people's stories and how they come to find Jesus. So if you have your Bible here or you want to open it up on your phone, you can turn to Mark 2. I'm going to read verses 1 to 12. And it says this, "When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, 'My child, your sins are forgiven.' But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, 'What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins.' Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, 'Why do you question this in your heads? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven," or stand up, pick up your mat and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins.' Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, 'Stand up, pick up your mat and go home.' And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, 'We've never seen anything like this before.'" Imagine yourself in that scene. How incredible that moment would have been. That rhymed. Imagine yourself in that scene. How incredible that moment would have been. Control myself here. Pastor Linda, I'm going to be good. Sometimes we read the Bible like we know the end. We know the outcomes. But it's good to put ourselves in the story because this would have been an incredible moment. There's a few other things in here. Jesus forgiving sins, being questioned by the teachers and the religious leaders, calling himself the Son of Man. There's so much within this story. But I just want to pick out four quick points that we can speak about that I believe really encouraged me and will encourage you in your life as we look to bring more people to Jesus. I've titled this message, Carriers of Faith. And I guess I've got a question for everyone here is, what are you carrying in your life? Now, this room was so full because of all the different things that people had heard about Jesus. He just healed a leper. The verse before, he had told not to tell anyone, but that person had gone and spread it out everywhere. And there's all this buzz about Jesus. And we find these four men in this story with a friend, possibly. We don't know the context necessarily of the paralyzed man, but we could guess, and a lot of people would assume that either they were relatives or maybe they were friends. Possibly even this man wasn't paralyzed for all of his life. Maybe they'd grown up together and something had happened and he had an accident and he found himself to be paralyzed. And in these days, there was no sort of, social welfare or healthcare or anything like that. So you were really left being looked after by friends or family if you had them. Otherwise, you kind of had to fend for yourself a little bit. And what I love about the guys in this story that carried this man to Jesus was this first point, which is that they saw a need. And they didn't just see a need, they felt the need as well. Often we can see needs around us, but until we feel those needs, we're not necessarily moved to action. There's so many verses in the Bible just before Jesus heals someone where there's a line that says he was moved with compassion. There's something about seeing a need, recognizing that there's a need, but also feeling it inside. being moved by compassion to do something about it. And I feel like more often than not, when we see needs and we feel those, God's actually putting it on our heart to possibly be the answer to that prayer. But unless we allow ourselves to be moved by compassion, not to be so busy going about our days doing the things that we do, that we can miss these moments. So these four guys saw the need of this man, and they felt the need, and they were moved by compassion. What does this look like in our days, in our time today? What do we see and feel as we go about our day? What things do we notice? Are we aware of what God might be speaking to us about in the circumstances, the environments that we find ourselves in? Who in our lives do we know that needs Jesus today? They might not be physically crippled, they might be, but maybe they're spiritually crippled. Maybe they're emotionally crippled. They're stuck in this situation and they need someone to help them find breakthrough. Our eyes need to be open to the needs that are around us in our communities, in our families. And we need to allow God to move our heart with compassion to feel those needs. It could be something as simple. I was at Coffee Guru the other day in Franklin. Shout out Gungahlin. I'm just learning the names of all the places in Canberra. I moved here like over a year ago. I like it because they have the signs in the front of every suburb, so I know where I am each time. It's a very Canberran thing. I haven't seen that in any other city in the world. I was at Coffee Guru, and as I was driving down there to get a coffee, I noticed a guy walking along the street. You know, his clothes were a bit rough, hair was a bit messy and struggling. And I saw him as I came into Coffee Guru, who was ahead of me, and he ordered something. And as he did, he kind of opened his wallet and all these different coins sort of fell out. And he was a bit embarrassed as the guy was trying to count all these different coins to pay for this thing. And I just went up to him and I said, "Hey, mate, can I buy you a coffee? Are you hungry? Do you want a drink?" And he's like, "Oh, no, it's okay." And I was like, "Honestly, I don't mind." And he said, "Oh, thank you so much. I actually would appreciate that." So I bought him a coffee and a sandwich and just said to him, "Bro, God loves you." Had a little chat with him. He's from Nigeria. He's been here for about a year or so. I shared about my life, invited him to come to church. And just a small thing like that, I'm not saying that to sound like I'm awesome for buying someone a coffee, but just that simple bit of awareness that we can have can open up many different opportunities. We don't know where those opportunities will take us, but we have to take those opportunities when we see them. The next thing that these guys did was they worked together. They shared the burden. And this is often where we can stop. We see the need, we feel the need, but as we try and do it by ourselves in our own strength, we come across barriers, hardship, it gets too much and we kind of stop. I want to encourage you that if you could share the burden with other people, find other people that you can connect the need to, it'll be much easier to actually outwork what it is that you feel God's put on your heart. Who's got a gym membership in the church here? I do. Who doesn't go to the gym but has a gym membership? My hand's up. I guarantee you, if anyone who has a gym membership that goes, if I said to them, "Hey, can you keep me accountable to actually show up at the gym?" And there was three or four people that every week would text me or call me the night before and say, "Hey, make sure you're there," that I would be there. We're not meant to do this life ourselves. We're in a church community to be part of a church community, to be part of a family. And we need each other to help us outwork the different things that God has put on our life. And we see that through this story. I don't know if you've ever tried to carry someone on a rug or something. We played a game at youth once when I was a teenager where someone had to sit on a rug and we pulled them across and it was like a relay race. People are really heavy. I don't know how far these guys had to walk. Some are heavier than others, like maybe me. I don't know how far these guys had to walk, but if it was one person carrying this person, I wonder how far he would have got. 50 meters, 100 meters before it got too much. But there was four of them, each carrying a corner. As one person's going, "Oh, I'm so..." Have you ever helped someone move and they're like, "It's going to be really simple," and you get there and there's a table that's bigger than their house that you have to carry? You've got to distribute the weight, and sometimes you shuffle around because one person's not quite strong enough. As they're going through this journey, they're encouraging each other. "Come on, we can do this. This guy needs help. This guy needs Jesus. Come on, let's help each other. Let's do this." "Oh, I'm too tired, bro. I can't do it." "Come on, you can do this." It's amazing how much further you can go if you're with someone else. We've got to see the need, feel the need, but we've got to work together and share the burden. This is a great example for us in our lives to overcome the different things that stop us when we try and reach out to people in our lives. The third thing is we've got to see the possibilities and not let the hindrances stop us. Sometimes when we're working with people, we're seeing a need, we're working with maybe tough situations. If we don't continue to see the possibilities of what their life could look like or what the situation could look like if God came through, then all of the different hindrances that we may encounter will stop us. These guys carried this guy all the way to Jesus, probably thinking like, oh, we're finally here. Stop and have a rest. Tapping people on the shoulder. Hey, can I get in? Hey, we got this guy. What are you doing, man? Leave us alone. We're trying to see Jesus. At that moment, they could have stopped and that would have been his new home outside the house. And maybe they could have waited till tomorrow. I don't know. But there was something in that moment that made them go, no, we've done this whole thing. We've brought this guy. We know Jesus is the answer. We're going to dig through all the barriers that stop us and we're going to get this guy in front of Jesus. So they thought creatively. A lot of houses back in those days had steps that led up to the house made out of clay and mud and other things. They just dug a hole in the roof. I don't know who owned the house, but they would have been pretty annoyed probably with a new form of air conditioning maybe back in those days. Just a big hole in the roof. But they saw the possibility of what could happen. Maybe we don't have to carry this guy home. Maybe he can walk home. I don't know what their thinking was necessarily, but they weren't going to give up. And if we have that mindset or that mentality of I'm not going to give up on this person, I'm not going to give up on this situation, because there is a possibility that God is going to come through in this moment and it's going to be an incredible story. It's going to be an incredible time for this person and also for me. We've got to see the possibilities, and that's what these guys did. Often we focus on the problems and we don't look for the solution. You know, sometimes it's internal hindrances. Sometimes maybe we don't feel like we're good enough. Maybe we're only a little bit further along than other people that we're trying to bring to Jesus. Maybe we find ourselves in just different situations that we need help with. If we would not let the problems stop us, but we continue to look to Jesus and head towards him, it's amazing what God can do. And I just think for these guys that they just had this belief that if they could get their friend who was paralyzed or their relative or whoever it was, this man, in front of Jesus, that something would happen. And that was their mindset. If I can get this person in front of Jesus, something will happen. Do we have that mindset ourselves that if we could just share with someone about Jesus, this could change their life? How many times have you felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit to say, hey, I want you to speak to this person? Maybe you're at work and someone's got a headache and they're, oh, I can't concentrate, I've got a migraine, and you feel that little prod, hey, pray for that person. What could happen if that person got healed right then and there in that desk? What would that look like? It would be incredible. And we need to remember that this is real, that the Word of God is real, it's living, that there's power in the name of Jesus. And we can't just comfortably go about our lives hoping that someone else will pray for them, hoping that God will bring someone else, hoping that somehow, some way they'll find Jesus. But God, we pray for them every single day, but you sit next to them every day. God's like, I've put you there next to them to answer your own prayer. Can you reach out and pray for them? We can't do that if we haven't seen or felt a need. We can't do that if we don't feel the burden. Maybe there's someone else in your office who's a Christian and you think, oh, two times today I felt to pray for this person, but I just can't do it. And they're like, do you want me to come with you and let's ask if we can pray for them? Come on, would you say yes to that? I definitely would. Don't let the barriers stop you. Keep believing. And the last one here is just to have faith. I love it that Jesus in this verse says, seeing their faith. And then Jesus responds by forgiving his sins, but also healing him. Do we actually believe Jesus can do the things that he says he can do? Do we have faith for that? I asked that question at the start. What are we carrying? And the title of this message is Carriers of Faith. Are we carrying faith to believe that God can move? Yes, in our life, and that's definitely the start. Do you believe that God can move in your life? That God can help you in your situation? That God can bring breakthrough in the things that you struggle with? That God can bring peace when you have turmoil in your mind and in your heart? Do you believe that? If you've experienced that, if you've been healed, if you've had a moment of breakthrough, if you've been baptized and come out and felt like a new creation, that then is a message for someone else who hasn't experienced that. But we've got to have faith to believe that if it's happened for me, it can happen for them. Hebrews 11:6 says, it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. I don't know if the paralyzed man had any faith at all. I don't know if he even wanted to go. He couldn't really stop. But their faith was so strong that it got him in front of Jesus, which brought healing and forgiveness to his life. Who in your life do you have so much faith for that even their lack of faith doesn't matter? That Jesus would see your faith and bring healing and breakthrough into their life. I love the story that Sue shared. And you can see within that story, the grandmother, Jess's grandmother, saw that need of her daughter who's coming to another country, not knowing anyone, and reached out to someone to get involved in their life. And Sue saw that need, felt that need, and met that need. And I'm sure there was other people that she shared the burden with, worked together. There could have been times where they let hindrances or things stop her from continuing to believe and speak into the family's lives. But I believe that Sue had faith to believe at some point, at some time, if she didn't give up, and the others that were believing and praying, this moment that we saw today would happen. God's a generational God. And the prayers that we pray are powerful, but the action that we take as well through the prompting of the Holy Spirit is so powerful. You know, before this, just as we finish, before moving to Canberra, I was living in London. And my wife and my kids, we'd started a church over there. And this message actually came from a story, a testimony of someone in our church. And what happened was, is I was contacted just on WhatsApp by a friend of mine in another country whose friend of theirs had moved to London. Now, this person was of a different faith, but it's going through a really tough time and they were concerned about this person. So they asked me to reach out to them, gave me the number. So I called this person, starting a church. You're definitely trying to get anyone who's interested to come to church. I called this person. I said, hey, my name's John. I'm part of this church. Your friend contacted me. I'd love to invite you to come to church this Sunday. And if you want to, at some time during the week, catch up for a coffee. He came along on Sunday, sat at the very back, big hood over his head, didn't really want to talk. I went up to him afterwards and said hello, introduced myself again, and said, did you want to catch up? First time he said no, but next Sunday he came back to church. Next Sunday I asked him, do you want to catch up? Second time, no. But I invite him during the week, hey, love to see you at church again. Third time, fourth time, fifth time, no. Sixth time, hey, do you want to catch up? Okay, fine. Catch up for him with a coffee, hear about his story. And he's very hurt, very bitter, I suppose, in many different ways, and very anti-Jesus and anti-Christianity. So I sit there and I answer a lot of his questions. And I say, if you're so anti-God, why over the last 6 weeks have you kept coming to church? And he goes, I don't know, but when I sit there, I just feel something different. And I was like, that's Jesus. And he's like, okay, I'm not ready for that yet. Anyway, he kept coming. For the next 15 months, I caught up with this person at least every second week. After a few months, I got a few other guys from church and said, hey, this guy's coming. He's a bit shy. He's a bit hard to talk to, but would you help me reach out to this person? Because I believe God is moving in his life. The five of us began to pray for this person each week. And then they would catch up with him. And by about the 12th or 13th month, he'd actually become one of our friends. And we spent hours sometimes debating with him about Christianity and many other things. We gave him a Bible, told him to read it. And I said, how did you feel when you read the Bible? And he goes, look, I don't agree with it, but every time I read it, I just feel peace. And I'm like, all right, that's God trying to reach out to you. Anyway, the night before Christmas Eve, about 15 months into knowing this guy, he calls me. He's drunk and he wants to take his life. And I sat on the phone with him for 2 hours, talking to him, praying for him, sharing my own story, telling him that Jesus can heal his broken heart, that if he would just let go of controlling everything and trying to fix it, that God could come in and take over and heal him, set him free, that he could live a completely different life. He didn't have to wake up every day feeling like this, but he has to let go. Got him to the point where he was like, hey, I'm going to go to sleep. I'm not going to do anything. Texted my friend, said, hey, we've got to pray for this guy. God's really, I think this, we're getting close to the moment where this guy's going to accept Jesus. Invited him over to our house for Christmas lunch. Didn't come. Texted him every day. Didn't hear from him for 6 or 7 days or whatever it was. I get a message from him on New Year's Eve because we do a prayer meeting at 11 p.m. till 12 and then we do celebrations. In UK, you can use fireworks. So I spent about £300 on fireworks and shot them all from my roof. It was amazing. Completely legal. We do the prayer. Oh, he texted me and said, can I come to the prayer meeting? I'm like, dude, I would love to have you for the prayer meeting. Come, please come. Come anytime you want. Come and hang out. I showed up at about 8, hung out together, did a bunch of stuff, did the prayer meeting, shot all the fireworks, did all the celebration fun. There's me and three of these five other guys in the top room of my house in England. It's about 2 a.m. and we're like, bro, it's time to give your life to Jesus. And for after about half an hour of talking to him, he goes, yeah, I think it's time. And just after 2 a.m. on that New Year's Day now, we led him to the Lord. 3 months later, I was able to baptize him at the church and he continues to follow Jesus to this day. And I realized through that time that all of these things had happened. We've seen the need and we've felt the need. We've been moved by compassion. His friend who was trying to help him from another country where he came from was like, I can't do this myself. I need to find other people to help me. We worked together and we shared the burden. I realized I couldn't do this myself. I got more people around to help with this situation. We weren't just doing it just to get him saved. We became friends. And this is what's incredible in this moment. There were so many times we could have given up. He was really rude. A lot of times. But I just had this belief. I could see the potential of what his life could be if he would let go of trying to do it all himself and accept Jesus. And to be honest, because of my own life and the situations that I've been through, that God's, I had faith to believe that Jesus could heal him. I had faith to believe that Jesus could set him free. At 2:30 a.m. that morning, it was an incredible feeling. All five of us sitting in that room. It was electric. Everyone here can have those moments. But we've got to step beyond the comfort of our own lives. We've got to walk around life with our eyes open to what God wants to bring to us. What needs are out there that we can see? What person in your life is paralyzed emotionally, spiritually, stuck in their situation that you could help bring them to Jesus?